is America with Rich Valdez, powered by PolitiWeek.com.
And Rich Valdez is with us, former Christie administration official.
You work for Chris Christie, you've been in politics, done a lot of public service stuff.
Rich Valdez, columnist now with the Washington Times.
This is America.
Richie V, you're on the air with the nation. The nation.
This is America with your host, Rich Valdez.
What's up, America? I am Rich Valdez, your liberty-loving Latino amigo, right here 17 blocks away from Madison Square Garden in New York City. And we're talking about misinformation, Mr. Trump and the media. And let me tell you, there's a lot of manipulation going on. It's a straight-up information war that's going on. It's an all-out crazy attack on the truth, and we're bringing it all to you right now. First up, they're coming after your kids. Trying to keep your kids out of college if they don't want to take the vaccine. But someone that I hate to listen to on CNN, and we're going to talk about CNN in a little bit because I think they're a little bit out of control, but Brianna Keeler, she's on CNN, and she claims that the misinformation war is being led by right-wing media. Listen to this.
And when history asks how so many Americans died when they could have been saved by a simple shot or two, you'll see these TV clips again that we've just shown in documentaries about the cautionary tale that has been America's response to the coronavirus pandemic, about how a large part of our country, misled by information often echoed by elected officials and right-wing media, was thrown a life raft and instead said, no, I'll take my chances.
Listen, these people are really good at what they do. They're excellent at massaging the truth, misinforming the masses, and manipulating you through the media. Now, of course, if you're listening to this show, you're probably a lot more swift than they are, and you're like, you know what? I know what you're talking about, and it's all fake and phony and fraud. But there's a lot of people that still eat this stuff up. And in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about how obsessed CNN is with Trump. And we'll get into that. But I find it remarkable that they make these extreme scenarios. And I guess, you know, that's part of the game in politics. You make these extreme analogies so that you can really draw attention to it. But it's really not the case. I mean, when you really look at it and you do the analysis, and you've all known this for quite some time. I spent the year on the radio talking about this. This survival rate, the amount of people who don't die from coronavirus, you know, something like 99.8% of people don't die. So we know that. So what's all the stress? And obviously everybody has their take on why we're pushing vaccines and why we're doing all of those things. And that's fine. Everybody can have their take on that. But I think just from the most logical sense, this is nonsensical. But Bill Carter, another CNN person, he's a media analyst, he says that in particular, Fox News, the hosts there are giving misinformation on vaccines because it's become a political point of the conservative movement. Now, I would just counter back and say, but Mr. Carter, wouldn't you say that taking the vaccine is then a political point of the left's political movement? Well, let's hear what he has to say.
It's not responsible journalism, what we're seeing, right? This information taken to heart endangers their viewers. Why do you think Fox hosts are doing this?
Well, this is the big question, Brianna. Why are they doing it? What's the reason? And the only rationale you can come up with is that it's become the political point of view for the right wing, for the conservative movement, that you can't support this because if it continues to work as it has worked brilliantly for people who have been vaccinated, it might help Joe Biden. It might help his administration, and you can't have that. And that's the rationale for going out and saying, well, we're going to give people information that could wind up killing them. I mean, it's scary. I mean, if you worked in an organization where some people were poisoning the water in a town, how could you not speak up and say, you can't do this. This is poisoned information. They're not stepping up and saying 99% of the people getting sick are the ones who aren't vaccinated, and you can be among those who are safe if you're vaccinated. Why are you not saying that? And by the way, Brianna, if Trump had won the election and he was in office, they'd be doing the opposite. And we all know that. They wouldn't be campaigning this way if they had a Republican in office. So the dishonesty is what is really bad to me.
Oh, poor baby, Mr. Carter. It sounds like you've got your panties in a bunch, sir. Listen, I can tell you this. Look, my dad was an old man, 70s. He died at 80. And every year they would say, oh, do you want the flu vaccine? Do you want the pneumonia vaccine? And my dad's been dead for, this is going to be year number 4. And all I could tell you is this. I refused it as often as I could because one time we did it and he got a pneumonia. So I'm thinking if you get the pneumonia from the pneumonia vaccine, and again, the doctor will explain to you that, well, you know, we're putting in the dead, the blah, 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 the dead virus, the dead sickness, the dead cells, whatever it is. And that may cause a reaction in some people. I'm thinking, then take your freaking chances. Yes, I don't want your life vest if your life vest is going to sink me to the bottom of the ocean. If there's a chance of that, I could do that all by my lonesome. I don't need your help. And I think sometimes we've got to look at things very logically. And I think that's where we are. But it seems to the folks at CNN, the folks at Fox are horrible. And I, quite frankly, look, I take exception to different news on different sides of the political spectrum. Every time somebody says something like Donald Trump is going to be in office again in August, I have to go out of my way to say stop. Really, just stop. Not going to happen. Would I like it to happen? Absolutely. Should it happen? It would be great if it did. But I was having an argument with somebody the other day and I realized I just can't argue anymore because you can't convince someone to believe what is when they believe what isn't. Maybe that was profound or maybe that was incredibly simplistic. I'm not sure. But the point is, I mean, there's some people that think, well, you know, it's pretty common sense to me. If you cheated in an election and you did this and you did that, then we should get a do-over, right? The problem is everybody and their mother that could have an effect on saying that there was cheating in the election went out of their way to say there was no cheating in the election. It's plain as day to the naked eye. But when it comes to the official record, they're like, well, you know, I don't know. We'll do some audits that are non-binding because we're not going to reverse anything. Nothing's going to happen. So to suggest that Trump will be taking office, I mean, I'd say the most remote chance of Trump becoming the president of anything would be maybe chair of the Republican Party. And that's not even a president. But I'm not trying to poo-poo Trump. I love Trump. I wish he never would have left. I wish he was there now. But we can't live in fantasy land. We have to call things for what they are. We have to keep it real, and we have to stay focused on what's right. And he is. If you listen to the words coming out of his mouth, he'll say things like very soon and this and that, and maybe he eggs it on a little bit. But to me, that's not the issue. Maybe he isn't. I mean, it's always a double entendre, right, when Trump speaks, which is why he's so great at what he does. But I'm here to tell you the truth, the absolute truth. There'll be no Trump in there, and I'm not relishing in that. I just don't want to be embarrassed. I want the people that have my back, that I'm linked arm in arm with, when we form a human chain for the cause of liberty, that people aren't going to sit there and laugh us out of town because we believe crazy things. And crazy things do happen. But we have to play by the rules. You see, the American politician that engages in nefarious activity never wants to get his hands dirty, always wants to look like the good guy. So it's very easy for these guys to act like the mob if they wanted to. Go and break somebody's legs, go and shoot somebody. And I'm not saying that they don't do that and it hasn't been done. But by and large, what you really see on the day-to-day coming out of the Beltway, out of Washington, is people slinging mud one way or another. Let me leak this to the media so the media can go attack you. Maybe the media can bring you down with a bunch of stories. Maybe they can do this. Maybe we can do that. Maybe we can use the media to just turn public opinion. They actually believe that President Trump is going to be incarcerated for some crime, whatever crime they want it to be. There's not even a charge against the president. When he was sitting president, they couldn't charge him. And then they said, oh, on his last day in the White House, he's coming out in handcuffs. That didn't happen either. The misinformation is way beyond the pale, whether it's on vaccines or on Trump. The media is peddling lies for the sake of their political position. That much we can't dispute. Whether you think it's the Fox News media or the CNN media, whatever, that's fine. The truth of their propaganda is what I think we need to stay focused on. Because in an information war, you've got to get your own information. You can't be lazy and think, oh, I'm just going to believe that because you said so. Imagine if you took the word of every fellow driver when they're like, oh yeah, the coast is clear, and you didn't look to see if cars were coming before you made a left turn or whatever. You'd get smacked. You'd be in an accident. That's crazy. Nobody does that. Anyway, I want to thank everybody who's been commenting and purchasing the Rich Valdez This Is America t-shirt. You can get a link for that on my social media, at Rich Valdez with an S, at Rich Valdez. And I want to continue this conversation about the media and the manipulation. I also want to get into a little bit about what's going on with the left, the progressive left. And I believe they are the problem, not they as human beings, but they in their philosophy. And their silence on this Cuba stuff is deafening. So we're going to get to all of that and more. Keep it locked right there. I am Rich Valdez with an S. This is America.
This is America.
Bienvenido, America. Welcome back. Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S on all the social media. I'm on Getter now, by the way, G-E-T-T-R. If you're on Getter, let me know, tag me or something. There aren't a lot of notifications, but I would love to engage in some conversation on there. I'm checking it out at least once or twice a day. So definitely chime in and, you know, drop a comment, whether it's Instagram or Twitter. I check them all at the same time, and I'm trying to get better at the social media. So bear with me on that one, and I appreciate your support. But Mr. Trump, El Presidente Donaldus Magnus, the 45th president of these United States, and I call him Mr. Trump tongue in cheek, not to disrespect him in any way. He is the former president, but because so many of them do that. And that's why I say Mr. Trump is the obsession of the media. And all that CNN and the rest of these people can do is talk about him. I'm serious. Now, I know you know that from if you've watched it or you watched the clips on your social media. But I was, you know, doing some show prep. And let's see what time it was. It should come out here. I took a screen grab of this. 12:28 p.m. Thursday edition of This Is America. Headline. Number one headline on CNN. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy could emerge as a key figure in the upcoming committee investigation on the January 6th, their words, insurrection. Next piece, next headline is an analysis piece. Revelations show the extreme danger Trump poses. Next, Bernstein. Top U.S. general compared Trump to Hitlerian fascism. Next headline. Top generals feared a Trump coup, book says. Analysis. Most revealing fact in the Trump books. Next, the K-File. Porsche's Gucci rings and billions of robocalls inside the PAC operation that raised millions by impersonating Trump. Literally every headline from the top to the bottom, and as far as I could see, only one of them was actual news, breaking news. Everything else was an analysis piece or a book review or something like that. And when they say analysis, that really means opinion. They just use analysis to kind of soften the blow and make it seem like, well, that's an analyst. They're very smart. They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, of course. But no, BS, Bravo Sierra, that's fake, phony, and fraud. This is what CNN does to try to lie to people. And I hate that people accept this stuff. The media literacy in America has declined so much. And I'm so fortunate that I can see through this stuff because I just think I could have been like the others. I could be like so many people that look at this and say, oh man, wow, this is Trump. Literally, Biden's in the White House. Why is Trump every single one of these headlines? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 headlines. Every last one of them mentions Trump because Trump is the obsession of the media. So now they're saying that he's involved or was planning a coup. And we're going to get to AOC and Omar being silent after Black Lives Matter comes out and supports the Cuba regime and trashes America. And we're going to do that in the third segment. But right now, I want to talk about Trump's alleged coup. And this is a piece in the rightscoop.com from about a half hour ago. President Trump just responded to the absurd fears of General Mark Milley as recounted in a new book that Trump was planning a coup after the November election. First, here's the background. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to read all this. This is some stupid book that's come out talking about Milley and talking about Trump, et cetera, et cetera. Let me read you the Trump statement. I think that's a little bit better. And while I look for that, I'll read you the CNN piece. The top U.S. military officer, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, was so shaken that then-President Donald Trump and his allies might attempt a coup or take other dangerous or illegal measures after the November election that Milley and other top officials informally planned for different ways to stop Trump, according to excerpts of an upcoming book obtained by CNN. The book from Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post reporters Carol Lenning and Philip Rucker describes how Milley and other joint chiefs discussed a plan to resign one by one rather than carry out orders from Trump that they considered to be illegal, dangerous, or ill-advised. It was kind of like a Saturday Night Massacre in reverse, Lenning wrote. The book recounts how the first time in modern history a U.S. top military officer whose role was to advise the president was preparing for a showdown with the commander-in-chief because he feared a coup attempt after Trump lost the November election. You know, so it's funny. I spend a lot of time whenever I can in my personal life just debunking a lot of the internet chat board, you know, stuff that's out there that may be well-intentioned and may have bits of truth intertwined with a grand old myth, but most of it is fake. You know, like, so somebody says, hey, there is election fraud. There may very well be election fraud. And we've seen incidences of it. But that does not mean that Trump's coming back, right? So one and two don't necessarily make three there. Or one plus one doesn't equal two. But they try to peddle it off as a package deal. And this is the same thing they do here. People say stupid things on the internet. And the next thing you know, you've got the Joint Chiefs responding to it. Now, worse yet would be if it's the Joint Chiefs just saying, we hate this guy, we need to figure out how to destroy this guy. Let's say he's planning a coup. Let's say that the Joint Chiefs are very concerned because people will take that seriously. You know, if it's just the Washington Post op-ed or the CNN op-ed or AKA analysis, they'll say, oh, well, maybe it's the media beating him up. They don't like him in the media. But if it's the Joint Chiefs, oh, the military is above reproach, right? And this is something I've argued many, many times. People are people. Whether you put them in the presidency, whether you put them in the military, look at Joe Biden. He's not above reproach. Joe Biden's Joe Biden, and he happens to be the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief. Now, I know that there are people that don't believe that, that think that he's getting some sort of pass and he's not the real president and that Trump's really the president. I even heard some people tell me crazy things like, you know, he's actually in a set in Canada. He's actually on a TV or a Hollywood set. He's not really in the Oval Office. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what is wrong with you people? Like, you lose, right? Whether you get robbed, you get beat fair and square, whatever you have. I'm not saying 2020. I'm saying no matter what, right? So you're walking down the street. I take off my Rolex and I sell it to somebody. I don't have it anymore. I'm walking down the street. Somebody punches me in the face. They take my Rolex. I don't have it anymore, right? I'm walking down the street. It slips off my wrist. I lose the watch. I don't have it anymore. Three different scenarios, same bottom line. I don't have the watch anymore, right? So this is the same thing. You can make all these presumptuous conclusions about what happens, but the actual conclusion is that Biden is the president, whether it was by hook or by crook. He's there. So now they're continuing to beat on Trump, and I think this is why we have to analyze what is the purpose of continually beating on Trump. And the reason is because they've never seen people galvanize in a populist movement like this. They've never seen people say, wow, I can't believe all these savage idiots. They all love Trump because that's what they think of us, right? Basket of deplorables clinging to their Bibles and their guns. They don't care for you and me. They think we're stupid because we like to pray before a meal. They think we're stupid because we go to church on a Sunday or donate a tenth of our salary or whatever and what have you to the church or to whatever causes we support. They see this not as virtue, but as some sort of vice that somehow debilitates us, makes us less valuable as humans. They don't appreciate it. Now, I reject that whole premise. I'm not going to look at somebody because they're a leftist and say that they're somehow lesser in their humanity. No, they may be lesser in their intelligence, but it doesn't mean that they're worth less as a human being. And this is an important point for me because I know a lot of people are like, oh, no, I can't sit here and support people. You're trying to destroy our country. You are a communist and I can't. Listen, I'm not here to support Castro. I don't like communism. It's a very bad thing. But people who start to think those things are good, it's our job to really do that. You know, Mark Levin the other day, and I cite him a lot because, I mean, I spend a lot of time listening to what he has to say and what he teaches. And I can tell you, he made such a profound comment. And he said, you know, the only thing that holds the republic intact is the fact that we embrace the civil society, civility. Without civility, we are just like the third world countries. And that's why I said the American politician never wants to get their hands dirty. They never roll up in your house knock on your door and say, hey, give me your guns. Now, it may happen during Hurricane Katrina. I remember that. But again, it wasn't widespread. And I'm not endorsing that or condoning that and even trying to go down that road. But I'm trying to say everything they do by subversion. It's always, oh, look at this. And then they go over here. Oh, we're going to call it the, Right to Life Act. And it really means we're going to kill people, right? Yeah, they always do that. There's always projection. It's never what it seems to be because they never want to look like the bad guy. If they wanted to look like a Hitler, a Mussolini, they would. They don't want that because their narcissistic tendencies don't allow them to be the strong man bad guy. And I think that's always something important because people are like, oh, when they come to my door and they take my guns, they're never going to come to your door and take your guns. They're going to play with your head until you open your door and throw out your gun. And maybe it won't be you in your lifetime if your convictions are that strong, just like I won't. I'm not going to sit through a national anthem or not put my hand on my heart. But they're already doing it to future generations, and that's how they win. They know exactly what they're doing. They look at people like us and they say, no, forget it. These guys are too much work. I'll just focus on their kids. These are the most patient people on the planet. And that's why they hate Trump, because he's not patient, right? He kind of shoots from the hip. And he fired off a statement right away. And I'll read this statement to you that just came out at 11:47 a.m., July 15, Thursday. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. And I'll do it in my Trump voice. I've always got to practice this. Despite massive voter fraud and irregularities during the 2020 presidential election scam that we're now seeing play out in very big and important states, I never threatened or spoke about to anyone a coup of our government. So ridiculous. Sorry to inform you, but an election is my form of coup. And if I was going to do a coup, one of the last people I would want to do it with is General Mark Milley.
Got to break character for this because it's so funny. He's right. Why would he want to work with that guy?
He got his job only because... This is Trump continued. He got his job only because the world's most overrated general, James Mattis, couldn't stand him, had no respect for him, and would not recommend him. To me, the fact that Mattis didn't like him, just like Obama didn't like him and actually fired Milley, was a good thing. Walked over to St. John's Church, which was still smoldering from a radical left fire set the day before. Side by side, a walk that has now been proven to be totally appropriate. And the following day, Milley choked like a dog in front of the fake news when they told him they thought he should have not walked over with the president, which turned out to be incorrect. He apologized profusely, making it a big story, instead saying, I am proud to walk with and protect the president of the United States. He said that it would have been all over, no big deal. But I saw at that moment he had no courage or skill. Certainly not the type of person I would be talking a coup with. I'm not into coups. In fact, around the same time, Milley, in a conversation, was an advocate of changing all of the names of our military forts and bases. I realized then, also, that he was much different of a person than I'd hoped he would be. I said to him, spend more time thinking about China and Russia and less time on being politically correct. But never during my administration did Milley display what is now being shown as wokeism. He wasn't woke, actually. I don't believe he ever was. The way I look at Milley, he's just a better politician than a general, trying to curry favor with the radical left and the absolute crazy people espousing a philosophy which will destroy our country. I wish I could have done the whole thing in my El Trumpito voice, but I wanted you to get the point and I didn't want to mess up. So there you have it, Trump with a really succinct and immediate response to the fake news saying he was planning a coup, he was doing this, he was doing that. Turns out he wasn't doing a damn thing. At least he's saying he wasn't doing a damn thing. And just like everything else, we accuse you of this, we accuse you of Russia, we accuse you of everything else, And little by little, 18 months later, oh, we're not pressing charges. Oh, we found nothing. Oh, this and oh, that. Oh, we're looking into your company's finances. Oh, we're going to look at the CFO. Oh, we're looking at the CFO's grandkids and where he went to school. Oh, did he have a corporate card? Did he have a company car as well? Did he pay tax on that as some sort of gift? Uh-oh, then maybe we need to put this guy in jail. Let's get a grand jury together. I mean, the things that are going on, the way they're hitting Trump, they probably never hit anybody since Al Capone. And people are going to say, oh, good reference. You're comparing Trump to Capone. No, I'm just saying this is how it was. Everybody knew Capone was a criminal and they couldn't get him. And I think that's the mindset that so many on the left have. And their argument to me would be, well, Rich, maybe if everybody thinks that, maybe, you know, you should also think where there's smoke, there's fire. The problem is I'm just not easily duped by this propaganda and this misuse of government power and authority and law enforcement to say we're going to go after people because of how they run their business or what type of corporate perks they get, or because he decided to run the office of the presidency a different way, a way that so many Americans were yearning for. People wanted a leader that was going to say something and do it. I'm not going to apologize for that, and I thank God that Trump hasn't apologized for it either. So kudos to El Trumpito, and this is yet another false takedown from the media, but there's still more to come. I want to talk about what's going on with all these progressive Democrats who seem to be very quiet right now. Very, very quiet, because BLM has come out in favor of Cuban communism and is trashing the United States. Don't move a muscle. Keep it locked right there. I'm Rich Valdez. This is America.
This is America.
All right, America, welcome back. Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S. And we're talking about the media. The misinformation from the media continues. And Jen Psaki-Back Psaki is like the ringleader, right? Like Biden is the godfather, and she's the ringleader. When she, and when I say Psaki-Back Psaki, you guys know it's a silent P, of course. But she's out there, and she's just shoveling it like she's never shoveled it before. This time, refusing to acknowledge or even condemn communism in Cuba as what is to blame. So she just says it's really mismanagement. It's just mismanagement. Kind of reminds me of when Biden in that debate or that town hall he did, and I think it was on ABC News, where he said, look, you know, they have a different cultural way of doing things in China. And I'm thinking they have a different way of doing things. They kill people. They have population control on their people. You couldn't have more than one kid at once. I mean, it was just absolutely bizarre to me that he would be so accepting of their cultural, quote-unquote, differences. But Jen Psaki-Back Psaki refuses and says, hey, it's just mismanagement. Listen to this.
And as the administration tries to figure out the root causes of migration to the country, don't we know that the reason people want to leave Cuba is because they don't like communism? And so as you're trying to figure out, like, what the processes are for these people who want to leave Cuba, just...
Well, I'm not sure what your question is.
You guys...
Why are people leaving Cuba, or what is the process for them getting here? I can explain either of them, but you tell me.
Sure, yeah. Do you think that people are leaving Cuba because they don't like communism?
I think we've been pretty clear that we think people are leaving Cuba, or not leaving Cuba, or protesting in the streets all as well, because they are opposed to the oppression, to the mismanagement of the government in the country. And we certainly support their right to protest. We support their efforts to speak out against their treatment in Cuba.
Now, even the radical, even the activist journalist who wants to push things in a leftward progression, even they will step out of line from time to time to say, you know what, you're lying. I just don't buy it. And Biden said this, how could he say that? I mean, it's all good to be progressives at the end of the day, but I mean, do it the right way, you know, quote unquote, is what they believe. And I'm quoting myself, not them. But I want you to hear this follow-up from one of the reporters in the White House. Check this out.
We hear from the president this week. He said the other day that he would speak out on that. And secondly, is his position still that he feels that the Trump policies were a failure and didn't affect change? Is that still his policy?
Well, again, I would say, one, in terms of whether you heal from him, he says that often, as you know. And what he means is he speaks out publicly nearly every day at events. Sometimes you all ask questions. If there's an update to provide on what we're doing, on what our policies are, certainly he'll provide that. Is there a planned speech or trip? Not at this time.
Is there a planned speech for President Biden to speak on Cuba? Now, he did a couple of days ago, but obviously this is ongoing, and there's a lot of question over whether the United States can provide internet service so that it can be used by the folks that have gone dark in Cuba. And she just says, no, you know what? Not at this time. No planned speech or trip at this time. And, you know, the mayor of Miami, Democrat, as far as I know, Francis Suarez, tells it like it is in an interview with Martha McCallum, uses history to inform his opinion as he analyzes the situation on the air. Check this out.
And you had interventions by Democratic presidents, you know, taking out Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. It's a sovereign country where they took out a terrorist that probably saved thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of lives. And President Clinton in Kosovo, intervening in a humanitarian issue with airstrikes. So there have been many, many opportunities in the history.
Are you suggesting airstrikes in Cuba?
What I'm suggesting is that that option is one that has to be explored and cannot be just simply discarded as an option that is not on the table. And there's a variety of ways the military can do it, but that's something that needs to be discussed and needs to be looked at as a potential option in addition to a variety of other options that can be discussed.
Whoa, punto y final, period, the end. He pretty much punctuated that extremely clearly. Yeah, bombing the crap out of these people who are bad guys, kind of like, you know, what Trump did to Soleimani and others, and the ones that he cited, like Obama et al. Yeah, that's an option. It's been an option for years. And one begs the question, why haven't we entertained this idea before with such a communistic threat so close to, and you know, Kennedy was the last one that seriously took a look at that. Not Trump, not Reagan. It really makes you think, I don't know enough. I just don't know enough to form an opinion. I would presume that because they're so close, you want to tread extremely lightly. And they've never been an enemy of ours. They've always kind of wanted to just exist in their space. And it's like, you let me do me and do all the communism I want to do and all the pilfering and pillaging that I do of these poor people and stay out of my way and we're good. I just don't know if we're there anymore. And God bless the people in Cuba for rising up and doing what they got to do. And I hope this goes somewhere. I hope it doesn't just get quashed, because liberty is one of those things that's given by God, not by man. And people shouldn't have to beg for it. But I understand the desire to fight for it. And that's important. And that's why I give kudos to Pitbull. You know, he's a rapper. And he's calling on Cubans like Jeff Bezos and others that have money to help free these protesters in Cuba.
We need to stand up, step up. But if you don't understand what's going on, then you need to wake up. Not only is this a Cuba event, a Cuba thing, this is a world event. This isn't about politics. This is about saving lives. This is about unity, not division. And bottom line, this is about taking action. Let me tell you something, why I'm frustrated and when I see everybody out there and doing what they're doing, which I love what they're doing. Okay? Because not only do we live for freedom, we ride for freedom, we die for freedom, but we mother appreciate freedom. And it gets me hot, it bothers me, and it frustrates me to a certain extent, being a Cuban American and having a platform to speak to the world and not being able to help my own people. Not being able to get them food, not being able to get them water, not being able to get them medicine. But most of all, not being able to help and really get them what they deserve, which is freedom. And this is my way of talking to the world. All world allies, get together to help. Global businesses, get together to help. People that we're so proud of, people such as a Jeff Bezos, Cuban American, graduated from a high school in Miami, built one of the biggest companies in the world, the richest man in the world. He's somebody that can get involved and really help us on what we got. All we can do is create awareness, but politics are gonna be politics. And while they figure out what they figure out, we need to figure out how to really help. We need to get creative, we need to figure out solutions while they're losing their lives over there literally for something that we wake up every day and appreciate, which is freedom. So to everybody out there, stand up, step up, and if you don't understand, get with the mother program and wake up. Because this is about freedom and it's about human rights. And to everybody in Cuba, keep the fight up. Para todos los cubanos que están allá afuera y todo lo que está pasando en Cuba ahora mismo. Ustedes son lo que va a motivar el mundo, inspirar el mundo. Para que vean lo que es de verdad, vivir y morir por la libertad.
To live and die for liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. That's why I like Pitbull. I always like Pitbull. He's on my playlist in the car. And that's what I talk about all the time. We have to stand for something. Because if we stand for nothing, we'll fall for anything. And we've seen how that ends up in places like Venezuela, in places like Cuba. So what do? We have to do something. Because Sir Edmund Burke says, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And right now, if we look at who's doing nothing, AOC and Ilhan Omar, quiet as kept, they're not saying a damn thing. While BLM has come out and said, you know what? The United States is responsible because of this embargo for what's happening. They're saying that because the U.S. this and the U.S. that, that we're killing the Cubans. Meanwhile, you look at the Cubans, and they're not saying anything about the United States. Right? The Cubans in the United States are blaming the Castro regime and the current president, whoever he is, some figurehead. And the Cubans in Cuba are doing the same thing. And those that are able to leak those videos when they can get internet. I saw videos this week. You hear the stories. You'd never seen them. Old ladies in their houses with their house dresses on, trying to hide people in there with the cops busting in, grabbing people, locking them up. People being assassinated in the streets. I heard a doctor was clubbed to death, beat down because he spoke out. They're doing something. They're standing for something. If we stand for nothing, we get screwed. We can't end up being screwed like the Cubans. And whatever we can do to support the Cubans, we need to do that too. Anyway, that's all I got for today. Hasta la próxima. Until the next time, I am Rich Valdez, and this is America.
This is America.